Hello and welcome
Love Talk Radio.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.com.
Good morning. I jumped the gun this morning a little bit. Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, April 11th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today's show is going to inform, inspire, and encourage you, as we always try to do on this show. And in a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Never Give Up on Your Dream, with my guest, Laurie Hardy. She's a certified life coach and a spiritual director. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners, because I realize you have many other things you could be doing with your time. So I'm honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it who can benefit. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, I invite you to click the Follow the Show button, and that will enable you to get an announcement every week about the upcoming episodes. Also, add yourself as a friend of the show. In addition, you can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and join me over on LinkedIn as well. If you're listening to the show after it's been recorded live, of course, I want to thank you also. And thank you for those of you who are subscribing through iTunes. There are many ways you can access the show. Now, have you always wanted to write a book, but you hesitated because you didn't know how to get started? Or maybe you have been writing pages and pages for months, even years, but you don't know how to get your book published. If this sounds like you, and you are in Southern California, you are in luck because I have recently created a 2.5-hour workshop just for you. In this workshop, you will learn how to go from choosing your title, your book cover, how to get your book finished quickly, marketing your book, and getting it printed. Boy, that's a lot for 2.5 hours, isn't it? This workshop is called How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. That covers about all of us. Most important, I'm going to tell you how to start earning money from your book before it's even finished. Now, this workshop is being held the last week of April in two different locations. On Tuesday, April 26th, it will be in the city of Irvine, and on Thursday, April 28th, it will be in the city of Orange. Get all the details you need and sign up on my homepage, coloryourlifehappy.com. The space is limited, and I mean that. It's limited because we want to keep the number manageable. So sign up today if this interests you. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. And to get at that goal, each week I interview guests from many different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it. We talk about many topics on this show. Today, it's my pleasure to have as my guest, Laurie Hardy. She's a genius at making something out of nothing, and we know how important that is. She has a BA in social services. She's a certified life coach and spiritual director, and she has 30 years of experience in broadcasting. Along her journey, she's had to call on every single one of her skills in order to survive. And she says when life throws rocks, she builds castles. Laurie raised 3 children, and let me say this number slowly, 89,542 animals on an island in the Pacific Northwest. 89,542 animals. I'm trying to even visualize that.
A little bit of an exaggeration, but a lot of animals.
A lot of animals. After coming out of the closet while the children were young, her husband took all of her best clothes and submitted her status as single mom. This is when Laurie learned firsthand what it means to live in community. While working for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and other volunteer organizations, she developed her skills as a coach, gardener, crafter, seamstress, writer, and speaker. My goodness, talk about a jack of all trades. Lori currently has a hot new talk show, Coffee with the Coaches, and you can get a preview of her show over at coffeewiththecoaches.com. A noted author, speaker, and broadcast personality, Lori now resides in the state of Washington with her family. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Lori Hardy. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Flo. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. You have a busy schedule, all these things you're doing, not to mention your new talk show. So I'm delighted that you're going to share with us about your book and also about your background a little bit. So we're going to get started right away because you have some really vital information to share. Now, I want to start with the idea that you have this powerful background in helping other people with their problems and even raising this amazing number of animals, which we know takes skill as well. Now, was it difficult for you to turn those skills that you use to help others toward helping yourself?
That's such a good question because I think when you're in survival mode, you do what you have to do and you don't even realize how it can benefit others. And I think what really happened for me was learning to ask for help was so very difficult and painful. But this wonderful little resource center in my community allowed me to help back. For instance, they had been helping me with some things, and they had some chairs that needed to be covered. They said, hey, we'll pay you to cover these chairs. Well, I mean, I didn't want pay. I was just so happy to be able to do something. And it was at that moment that it occurred to me, so many times we don't want to ask for help because we don't want to be in that role of accepting. And what it helped me through the next many years because I realized that even though I needed help in some areas, I had things I could give back in others.
Right. And I can definitely relate to that because I hesitate to help ask for help too, even in small things. But I think when we are helpers, somehow or another, we think we should have all the answers. And, of course, that's absolutely not true.
Yeah, here I was a life coach, you know, and my life was falling apart.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, go ahead.
No, I'm just glad that you recognized that and you asked for help because the alternative is not good. If you don't ask for help, you can spiral into a deep, dark place.
Exactly. And you know what happens is when we realize that we can receive help and that we can help back, when we get to a place, I mean, even not even when we get to a place, but when we start being able to help back, it brings us so much joy and we realize we become better givers because we get it.
Oh, okay.
We understand what it means to receive help and how difficult it is.
That's true. Now, I want to get to the part of your introduction that I'm sure some people thought they didn't hear right. Being betrayed and abandoned, it's one of the most painful experiences any of us can have. And in your case, having your husband leave for another man is probably another twist to it that makes it painful. Would you tell us a little about your personal story? Tell us the dream that was in danger of being derailed, your own dream, and then identify maybe three survival skills that got you through this period. I know that's a loaded question.
That's a good question. You know, first of all, I made sure before I ever wrote the book that, you know, with my ex-husband, he's my children's father, and we have a good relationship, and there's nothing in the book that wouldn't, you know, that he would have a problem with. In fact, he'll probably take a bunch and sell them for me. You know, the thing is that it is, and people say the craziest things. We are a small community, so a lot of people said, like, they're so happy. They're like, I knew it. I knew he was gay. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes me feel really good. And then people would say, well, at least it wasn't a woman. And I think it could be it was a woman. So, you know, it's just amazing the things that people say. But it was very difficult, and it was a real attack on my femininity. And I did go into a deep depression because what I wanted was to be a stay-at-home mom. That's why I became a coach. And I wanted to raise my kids. And suddenly I was faced with having to go to work full-time. And, you know, I said, I am not going to abandon these children. And people thought I was crazy. They kept sending me jobs. But I knew while I was in this difficult time that I couldn't go leave them for 8 to 10 hours a day. You know, they'd just been abandoned by their father, who, for a while he wouldn't be in their lives, and then he figured it out, and then he started being a very regular part of their lives. But I had somebody offered me a camper, and I was like, I'm not living in a camper. Well, you know, when I couldn't pay rent anymore, I was like, hey, you still got that camper? And ended up, some people knew of this Bible camp on the island I lived on that most people didn't know about, and they took me in. They let me work in the kitchen, so I worked for free, but I lived for free, and it was a respite for my kids. It was because I believed and I held on to that value that those things worked out. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, so your dream of staying home with your children was the one that was in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And but you held on to it until you found a solution that was perfect for you at the time. And I think this is what stops many of us, you know, just like you at first said, I'm not living in a camper. And then then when you realized that it was a solution for that time, that it wasn't a permanent situation, then you were able to move into it because it was the best thing for your children to get your goal, to reach your goal of being there with them.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, it's so easy when you become a single parent because suddenly you have to do everything. And so I remember thinking, because I had worked in radio and my goal was to have a call-in coaching, you know, talk show. And, you know, all that was going to be on hold because it was going to be difficult to even develop the coaching business being, you know, you can't just build a business overnight. And the one thing that really helped me was I really carved out a place for myself, which was difficult because you feel guilty. But I took... I made a place, a little space with this awesome little rocking chair that we had gotten from the kid's grandma. And every morning I sat there in front of the fireplace in the winter and the window in the summer, and I took time to read motivational things, to journal. And I kept that dream alive, even though I knew I couldn't do it right now. I kept, you know, looking into it. I kept, that is probably what fueled me to be able to keep going in the tough times.
Wow. That's amazing. So that sounds like one of the three survival skills that got you through was the making a space in your day, whether it's early morning, late, whatever time that you can do it, to fill your mind with positive, motivational things. So you read books. Did you listen to tapes or anything else, or kind of limited to motivational books?
Well, I put my hands on anything, and I'm an avid reader, so, you know, I just read everything I could get my hands on, but I made sure to give myself that little bit of time each day. And then, as we talked about earlier, is asking for help. I mean, that was so difficult, and there felt like so much shame wrapped up in it. Like,
yes,
you know, we're women, and we want to be able to do it all. And the most beautiful thing I learned, and I wouldn't have learned it probably for not this situation, is that, you know, there were other single moms, and we started, it's hard to get together as single moms because you don't have time, but we started finding ways to meet at the park, and, you know, someone would have two toasters and someone wouldn't have one, so we found ways to trade and to help each other and encourage each other and mostly just listen, because I think after like 6 months, people in your, you know, people around you want you to get on with it. They don't want you to be still struggling, and so to be able to listen and be there for other single moms, you know, we really built a strong community around us, and that was really amazing.
Wow. So it sounds like asking for help was the first thing that helped you to survive, because by asking for help, you found out that there were other people in a similar situation, and you were able to listen to each other and share resources and encouragement, it sounds like.
And being honest about your struggles. It's easy to say, I'm fine, but to really be honest and say, no, I'm really having a tough time with this, you know.
That's so important. I when I hear people say, I'm fine, I always think, no, you're not.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. Because it's when you've had a devastating experience, like you've had or like many of us have had in other ways, we're not fine at first. We are thrown off base. We're sad. We're depressed, and we're not fine. So asking for help and being honest, I'm so happy you said that, because I think about my upbringing, and we were taught to put on a happy face and not share your dirty laundry with other people, that kind of and that's unfortunate. I mean, of course you don't run up and down the street waving your life in front of people who don't care, but being honest with the people that you have networked with is so important, because that's the only way they can offer help, if they know what's honestly going on with you.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and it's one thing, too, you know, a lot of times people want to, you know, complain about, you know, their ex. And I made a real point not to do that because, number one, I didn't want my kids to overhear me. And people would say, "You're a saint." I'm like, "No, I'm not a saint. I just know this will come back on me." And, you know, it's so important to, no matter what, to find a way to not, I don't know the honor's the word, but to be able to be, keep your head above water and not fall into that role and not try to turn the kids or, you know, try, you know, even if you're not getting child support, things like that, it's easy to, you know, get so upset and then you let the kids know and then that, you know, that's still their father. And those are things kids shouldn't have to deal with. And, you know, I think it takes a real, you really have to be intentional about doing that. Yes. You find your place that you can complain, you find your person that can hear it, and, you know, but as for everybody else, you leave that out of the story, you know.
Yes, and I'm so happy you pointed out the danger of complaining and being bitter and being resentful. There is no way to do that without it hurting you. You know, there's no way to be, it's going to hurt you perhaps more than the other person, because you're the one that's feeling it and you are building up those negatives inside of you, which can turn into physical ailments. So it's just not beneficial. And of course, as you pointed out, when we're talking marriages, we're talking the father of our children. They still love him, and to bash him in front of them, that's a recipe for disaster. That's just not going to turn out good, because they can't see your point of view, and your point of view is wrong if you're trying to be bitter. That's
exactly
not going to do it.
Yeah, and you know, you're going to have big events coming up. My daughter got married, and, you know, her dad and I sat side by side and even held my hand on the way out down the aisle, and I know that meant so much to my kids. You know, that's important.
Yes.
And, you know, when you look at the bigger picture overall, it's a little bit easier to bite your tongue, you know.
Right. And you do have to look at the bigger picture. And we can think of examples in the news where people just never did let go, even after divorce, never let go of that bitterness and ended up in murder for one or both, suicide, all kinds of horrible things that just did not have to happen if they could just recognize that. And, you know, you think after divorce people have moved on, but no, some people still hang to that bitterness, and it's just not helpful. Now, I wanted to talk about your book before we go on, because you've written a book, and I want you to tell us a little about your book and where we can get a copy, when it's going to be available.
Well, it's called Did Not See That Coming, and you can go on my website, didnotseethatcoming.com. It's going to be done at the editors at the end of April, and I'm hoping that it will be ready to go by the end of May. So if you're interested, you can let me know on my website. You should be able to get it at Amazon or any bookstores once it's out. But I want to say this about you, Flora. The way I met you was through my own publishing coach. And I just want to say what you do for people is so amazing, because I never thought for a minute that I could put this into a form, that, you know, this book and my story, without it, you know, that it would help people and not just be, oh, me, I. You know, every time I tried to write it, that happened. But once I hired a publishing coach, then it all fell into place. And like you said, I'm going to tell you how to promote your book before it's out. If you have a story and you call Flora, because it is amazing. It is so amazing. And I'm still kind of in awe. I'm thinking, I can't believe I wrote a book.
Isn't that wonderful? And, you know, with my workshop, my goal, it pains me to see people or hear people say that they've had an experience, and especially that they have a book that they've already started. I mean, I've met people who say, yes, I've been working on my book for 10 years. 10 years?
Wow.
Here's what people don't get about writing a book. I believe you were given this gift by God to share with the world, the ability to share whatever has happened to you. And somebody out there in the world can benefit from your story. We're not even talking about making money at this point. Right now I'm talking about somebody can benefit. So if you are taking 10 years to write a book, you are holding, look how many years you're holding somebody up from getting help. You know,
wow.
If we had a lifeline to throw to somebody who was drowning, would you stand there on the shore for 10 years before you threw that lifeline out there? Of course not.
You know, and that's what I thought when I was going through this. There was no book. There was no book saying, hey, my husband left me for a man, and, you know, what was it like when you had to go pick him up, or when the other guy dropped him off, or when the kid said, hey, who's that guy with your dad? And they say, oh, it's his boyfriend. You know, there was nobody to tell me how to deal with that. And, you know, I wrote my book actually like within 4 months. And I know that people can do that if they work with you. And also, if you want to be a speaker and you want to get out there, and that's a great way to make money and be home with your kids, you got to have a book to get booked.
That's right. You got to have a book to get booked. Oh, I'm going to write that down.
Well, that's Patrick. That's Patrick, and he's on your website.
Right, yeah. I know that we share the same publishing coach, and each time I do my workshop and talk to people about publishing a book, I tell them they want to know how to get your book done. I say, here are some tips, but let me tell you, the fastest way is to hire somebody who's not only been there, done that, but who has access to so many resources, and who's going to push you, motivate you. Just one little idea from a publishing coach can propel you forward so fast. And, of course, when you have a coach, you're in touch every week, and whatever your schedule is. And who wants to go on to a call with their coach and have nothing to report each week?
For sure.
I know I didn't. So let me ask you about, so your book is coming out the end of May, and it's called Did Not See That Coming.
Yeah.
You have a website, www.didnotseethatcoming.com, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And so we don't have too long to wait before your book is out. And if we wanted to, could we pre-purchase it, go ahead and pay for it now and get it later?
You know, that's probably an option. I'm working on it right now, and so if you keep an eye on my site, that might be a possibility in the very near future.
Sure.
You probably have the answer to that.
Yes, I do. I'm going to talk to you after the show. I'm telling you what you need to do. Now, you also have your radio show. Tell us, how can we access your show? I know it's in the state of Washington, correct?
Yes.
Tell us about the show.
You can stream live on KGNW.com at 10 a.m. Saturday mornings Pacific time, or you can just go to our website, coffeewiththecoaches.com, and listen to the archive shows once they've played. But this was the dream I held on to. And when my kids got a little bit older, I was working with Big Brother, Big Sister, and I just knew I wanted to do a radio talk show. And I started getting back into the radio world. Well, I never thought I could get back in at my age. And, you know, as I started pushing, it wasn't easy, but the doors started opening, and I got a job in radio. And I'm actually a traffic reporter for Seattle Radio. I'm Como traffic in the evenings. But because I got back in that world, you know, I honed my skills, and my coaching partner and I, we've launched this show, and it is my dream, and I'm here to say dreams come true. And we talk about, we actually coach people live on the air, so you can watch people struggle through what they're going through and start to live their dreams. And you can call in. So we're hoping that we can, you know, get coaching out there so people can understand they can still live their dream. It's never too late.
That's beautiful. That is so exciting. I just love the title, too, Coffee with the Coaches. And I hope people will go ahead and go to your site, coffeewiththecoaches?
Yes.com.
Okay. .com. All right. Now, I want to say a few more words. Oh, my gosh, we're almost out of time.
I know.
Many of the experiences that we've had in our lives are traumatic, and I have a couple of clients who want to write about experiences that were very traumatic, but they are having a lot of trouble getting it out there. What made you decide to write this book and get it out there? Because it is a personal story, and you are going to go through some pain as you kind of relive it and tell it. So what was your goal in sharing this with the world?
you know, that my goal was there's a lot of single moms. There's so many single moms, and they suffer in silence. They work two and three jobs, and, you know, then the whole goal of being there for their kids, it's hard to be there, and they've got to get other people to be there. And so one of my goals in doing this was that I could get a book, get speaking, and maybe I could help other people make something like this happen so they could be more available to their kids. And I'm looking into different home-based businesses that are, you know, not scams, and trying to find some things to help moms to be able to work from home so they can be available to their kids, because that's the saddest thing is when you have to work two and three jobs and then guess what? They're coming home. My kids, I did not want them coming home being teased at school and coming home to a babysitter. I wanted them to walk in my door so I could tell them, you know, so I could feel those problems. And, you know, honestly, Flora, the time this happened, it couldn't have been a better time, because there was not the kind of phobias that had been in the past, so kids were not my kids have told me over and over they didn't get teased. They got asked questions, and there were things they worried about, but, you know, we were in a small community. Everybody knew, and I had a lot of fear about what would happen with them, and, you know, so I feel like it's just important. My daughter's going to start speaking. She's a youth leader. She speaks to kids about, you know, a lot of kids are being raised by two moms or two dads. And she's sharing her experience, what that was like. And, that's beautiful. That's the only way we can help people. It doesn't shame us. It makes us, it helps people say, see, other people are going through this.
Right. That is so beautiful. I'm so happy to hear that your daughter is going to be sharing her story, because that next generation of youngsters like her who are being raised in what we think of as non-traditional relationships need to tell their stories, because there are a lot of questions and a lot of fear and a lot of shame, all those things. Mm-hmm. And we can disperse those by talking to someone who's been through it. It's never as big and mysterious as we make it be when we don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
And finding, trying to find the humor in it. For instance, when I was the one who was chosen to tell my kids that their dad was divorcing me, and my middle son said, "Mom, are we going to have two moms and two dads like all our friends?" And I said, "You know, honey, I'm pretty sure I'm always going to be your only mom."
the humor in something is so important. And I know that it's hard to find humor when you're in a situation where you feel like you've just been stabbed in the heart.
Yeah, yeah.
But after the gushing stops, you need to find a way to survive this, because there's so much living you can do and so much you can help other people with, just like what you're doing with your show, your radio show. You're doing it with your book, and now your children will be sharing that with others. How many children do you have, Laurie?
I have three amazing, wonderful children. I'm
oh,
so proud of them. And I'm going to be a grandma in August.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, my gosh, you're moving into a wonderful area. Being a grandma is, I have three grandchildren. It's just a hopeless love. It's just love, 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 because they can do no wrong.
Oh, I believe it. Well, you know, Flora, one thing I wanted to say is I found out when I was writing my book, I forgot, but my great-grandma was a single mom, and all I could think was, man, if she would have had a journal, maybe it could have helped me. And that was the clincher, that, you know, we want to use our traumatic, difficult situations to help others. And if we can do that, that's a blessed thing.
That is. Thank you so much, Laurie, for being my guest today. I can't believe we're out of time. And
well, thank you,
listeners, for tuning in. I want to encourage everyone to join me again next Monday, April 18th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to have another exciting show. Please rush over to Laurie's website, www.coffeewithcoaches.com, and also go find out about her book. I'm sure she's going to have a way for you to buy copies ahead of publication.
Sure,
I am too. www.didnotseethatcoming.com. Thank you again, Laurie, and have a blessed week to you, your children, and to everyone on the line. And you know, those of you who listen to my show all the time, I always ask you to do something, and that is to color your life happy. Thanks for tuning in.
Color your life happy.
Color.